as the world looks upon me as I struggle along. They say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing.
So, we'd like to hear some testimony from you as to things that you're thankful about. So, who wants to start? Don't be nervous. We're all friends here.
Well, I got to start. Last week, we were in a huge mega church, and it was nice. They had everything. Everything was just like over the top. But you know what, church? I am so glad to be here with you today. And so, I think we just got a sweet church, and so glad to be back.
And our church sings.
And thankful.
It's a relief.
I was thankful that the airlines were running. We got back. We flew down there. The government was shut down, and I thought, I wonder if the airlines are going to get us back or if we're going to have to hitchhike. But they solved all of that, so not a problem.
Anyone else?
Thank you guys for singing. They didn't sing at that other church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We're thankful for it too.
Wait a minute. We got three people talking at once. Nancy in the back.
All right. Wow. Okay.
Okay, now. Amen.
Amen. Good. Welcome.
There has to be more out there than this.
Nope, over there.
Faye, right here in the front.
There we go. Oh. Right here? Praise God. Anyone else out there? I'll jump in. I want to be thankful for my wife, too. I've not always been the easiest guy to live with. I don't need any support from it.
My wife talk?
And she has been patient with me continually still. And I'm grateful for that as well as my children.
I also would like to say I am very, very grateful and thankful for my wife. And I know beyond all measure that she was put in my life by God. Because I don't think there's anybody else on the planet that could put up with me.
Amen. Are you kidding?
Amen.
Amen. Well, yeah, that would be Charlene as well.
Saint Charlene.
And I'm also grateful for this church, just like Pastor is.
Amen.
A lot of wonderful people here. Some of them have passed on. But we get new ones. Every time someone leaves, someone comes. And we're grateful for those as well.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. Well, I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Now there's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Seated. I thought that number one would always be me. I thought
holding my hand. without you holding my hand.
Boom, 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 boom.
I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, I've learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding.
Well, we've got some things to pray for today. First, I want to give you an update on Pastor Tyler's sister, Annie. You heard that she was going to have surgery. She had that last Thursday. They expected that surgery to last roughly 10, 11 hours. It was 21 hours, set a new record. She was on a heart bypass machine, new record for the doctor who'd been doing this for 25 years, 13 hours on a bypass, and Annie didn't wake up afterwards. She's in a coma on a ventilator, and so they're tending to her. They're kind of expecting her to make it out of it, but it was a real rough thing for the Henke family. So let's go to the Lord. Father God, I pray for Annie, that, Lord, you'd bring her out of the coma, that you would restore her, that, Lord, she'd be able to get back to living life with her folks, and thank you for her. I pray that you be with Pastor Tyler, her brother, and Pastor Mark and Carrie, Annie's mom and dad, and, Lord, I just pray for deliverance in this matter. I want to thank you also for the 1 billion downloads of the Bible app that just happened this week, and how, Lord, this next generation, Gen Z, has become more interested in the Bible than previous generations. And Lord, there's something of a revival taking place. So let your word run throughout the land and throughout the world. And I pray that the good news of Jesus would be spread all the more. I pray for those on our high five cards. Lord, those friends, those neighbors, those people that we know that we're praying for their salvation, give us opportunities to, again, speak the words of Christ to them, share good deeds with them, let them know that we're praying for them and care for them. Lord, we pray for their salvation. And then, Lord, I want to say thank you for the Child Evangelism Fellowship. We recently got their newsletter, and we rejoice that there were 15 teens that were involved in Christian Youth in Action this summer. There were five-day clubs, 33 of them throughout the summer, and 382 children heard the gospel, and 27 received Jesus. Lord, thank you for the state fair. Over 1,000 children heard the gospel. 58 recorded decisions for Christ. Lord, I want to say also thank you for the good news clubs that were taking place, where 306 had heard the gospel and 74 received Jesus this summer. So we pray your blessing, your continued blessing on Child Evangelism Fellowship. Help them in their work. Help them connect with young people and share the good news of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we have an opportunity to support them here with a facility for Polk County. I pray the workers would experience your love and grace in this vital work in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pretty amazing stuff. If you'd like to get CEF's newsletter, we'll get it posted after the service and you can catch it. And you catch all of our missionary newsletter updates. We had four of them come in this week. So I had quite a choice of selections. Well, it's good to be back. We are in the book of 2 Thessalonians, and Paul has been teaching about the coming day of the Lord. And you'll recall last time, 2 weeks ago, when I was with you, some false teachers taught that that day had already arrived. And so there were people in the church that were unsettled, they were alarmed, they were concerned. And with the heightened persecution taking place in the city, believers were really struggling. Paul said, don't let anyone deceive you. Rather, remember what he taught. They're to remember that first the rebellion had to come. The man of lawlessness, or the Antichrist, had to be revealed. And he who holds him back must step out of the way before that great day of the Lord. Even though that Antichrist would display marvelous signs and wonders that serve the lie, they would deceive those that are perishing. And Jesus says, be careful, because that man would also deceive the elect if that was possible. Paul now wants to strengthen the resolve of this young church. Remember, this church is just 5-6 months old in the Lord, maybe 7 months, but it's a very young church. And he needs them to stand firm in their present day of trouble. He gives them some helps, and these are the same helps that we need in our day of trouble. So let me ask you, church, have you ever struggled with your faith? You have, huh? Ever struggle with your faith? Ever have any doubts, maybe, that God really is real? Or this thing called the resurrection really took place? Have you struggled with doctrines and teachings? You think that just can't be? Have you ever wondered if God really, really loves you? Yeah. These are common things to every believer. We struggle in those things. And in time of testing, Pastor Tyler did a great job about temptation last week. Yeah, in those times of testing and temptation, they can be quite a strain on us. Well, if you've ever thought about throwing in the towel, this message is for you today. So take a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verse 13 through chapter 3, verse 5. Here we go. This is the word of God. Paul says, but we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Chapter 3, verse 1. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. A lot of good stuff there. We're going to talk about how to stand firm and how to stand firm in your faith today. Would you pray with me? Lord, like that song we just sang, we can't even walk without you holding a hand, and that we've learned on our knees how to stand. And I pray today, Lord, that you give us strength and encouragement to stand firm in our faith. And not just to stand firm, but Lord, boldly proclaim this faith that you've given us. Help us grow up in Christ. Help us become more conformed to the image of Christ. May the love of Christ and the joy of Christ, the peace of Christ, just emanate from our lives. I pray your blessing. Send your Spirit now to bring conviction, bring teaching, bring whatever rebuke, bring whatever it is we need, Lord, to apply to our lives, that we might go away today more like Jesus as a result. Thanks for what you're going to do in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. How to stand firm in your faith. We need that because we'll have plenty of difficulties as we follow Jesus. And he said, in this world, you will have tribulation. That almost sounds like a promise. And he knows the future. He knows we're going to have difficulties. But point number one is, if we're going to stand, we need to embrace God's love for us. Embrace God's love for you. We see that Paul's thankfulness is on display in verse 13. He's thanking God for these Thessalonians, for these believers. Who are they? He says they're brothers and sisters in Christ. They're brothers and sisters not by blood, they're brothers and sisters by the Spirit, because we've been baptized by the Spirit into God's family. But now look closer, church. They are brothers and sisters. What does it say? Loved by the Lord. God loves you. Sometimes we take that for granted. God loves you. He really does. You are loved by the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is to know that God loves our broken and hurting race, because God loves us. Paul says, he chose us. He loved us. That's why he chose us. He began to call us individually, drawing us to himself. No one knows why God chooses one person and not another. That's a great mystery which exercises the minds of theologians and indeed just about everyone who reads the Bible. Why does God save some people and not others? Scripture gives us no help in this. But he chose us. And don't make the mistake of saying that God chose those whom he foresaw would believe. That God looked down through the centuries when he foresaw that we would believe the gospel. Then he wrote our names down in his book of life. That's not how it happens. The scripture presents it otherwise. Even we, humans, do not work that way. We choose to do something, and then we do it. Now, some of you know that I'm a woodworker in all my free time. I come up with a project, and I choose what wood I'm going to use to make that project. I choose how big it's going to be. I choose how it's going to be fit together. I choose what stains I'm going to use. I choose what finish. I choose the kinds of sandpapers I'm going to work on. I choose when and where and how I'm going to work on it. That's what God did with us. He didn't say, oh, I see that guy, Tony. Tony's a good guy. I think I'll choose him. No, God works in and around Tony's life, and he brings him to the place where Tony then recognizes, yeah, he wants God, right? He grants us repentance unto life. That's what he's done for us. He chooses broken people, brings them together, and does his marvelous work that way. By the way, that oak offering box back there, just to remind you, someone asked me today, hey, there's no trays for us to put our offerings in. That's what that's all about. So you can put your offerings in there. Put lots of offerings in there. God chose us. He chose us. Why did he choose us? Well, so that we might be the first fruits. Now, some of your Bibles say from the beginning, and I like that too. I had a professor tell me, it's a good thing that God chose me before he created me, because if he'd have waited until he created me, he wouldn't have wanted me. Now, that's poor theology, okay? But it does get a chuckle. The word really has to do with being this idea of a first fruit. There's a first fruit there. He chose us first, and thus he foreknows those he choose will come. If you struggle with this, don't feel bad, because many others do. However, Jesus put it very plainly when he said, listen, no one can come to me except my Father draw him. John 6:44. And I think more than any other verse in Scripture, perhaps those words express the fact of God's call. No one comes to me unless the Father draws him. He loves you, church. He doesn't love you because of what you've done or how you clean yourself up for him. I like the way Pastor Tyler last week illustrated it. He says when he comes home from work and his little girl comes in and says, Daddy, I cleaned up my room. Will you love me more now? Will you like me because my room is clean? And that's not why God loves us. Because we've straightened our lives up. He's the great straightener, right? He can straighten us up. It's his job to redeem us and to sanctify us and conform us to the image of his Son. Our job is to believe. God chose the Thessalonians to be the first fruits, and he saved them in Thessalonia. You'll recall that God gave Paul a vision in Acts 16. This is God's working. Paul is going to go someplace else, and he has a vision in the middle of the night. There's a man from Macedonia says, hey, come over here. And so he and his companions decide we're going to need to go from where we're at in Troas over to, they land in Philippi in the territory of Macedonia, that province. And eventually they go from Philippi, because they kind of get run out of town. They go to Thessalonica. They got run out of there too. They went to Berea. Got run out of Berea. Went down to Corinth. God says, hey, Paul, hang out here for a while. I got many people in this city. You're going to be okay. And so he spends 3 years in Corinth doing the ministry, preaching the good news of Jesus. But he's thankful. He's writing from Corinth back to Thessalonica and telling them, boy, I need to just thank God for you again. Because they were chosen by God, they were loved by God, and they're a beautiful expression of God's work in the place. The purpose which God had in mind in calling us, Paul says, is that we might be saved. That we might be saved. Salvation is his objective. Now that word gathers up a great deal of truth in Scripture. It includes conversion and regeneration, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and other changes that happen to us. But fundamentally, salvation means that our relationship to God has been altered. He no longer looks upon us as aliens and strangers, rebels, enemies, drifting along with a wicked and fallen world, but rather as, listen, children, dear ones who become his children through faith in his Son. That's the process of salvation. Salvation is a whole lot more than getting a ticket. I got a ticket to heaven. Oh, I'm so glad I'm saved. When I die, I can go to heaven. Church, salvation is about walking with the Savior right now. Experience his love right now. His peace, his joy in our lives right now. When you were given eternal life it began at the moment you were born of the Spirit. You get to enter into that. The process, according to Paul, is through sanctification by the Spirit. That's God's part. Theologians debate whether this should be translated with a capital S, the Holy Spirit, referring to him, or to a small s, referring to the human spirit, but it does not make any difference because when you come to Christ, your human spirit is invaded by the Holy Spirit. And this is the act which the Bible calls regeneration, being born again. You have a new beginning. And what a change that makes in a man or woman, boy or girl. Ephesians says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins when we used to serve the ruler of this world. Who's that? That'd be Satan. We were all Satanists. But God made us alive and he came into our life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why? He loves you, church. Embrace that. Embrace his love. The human side of the equation is that we believe the truth. God's choice operates in the realm of belief in the truth and the Spirit's sanctifying work. Somewhere along the line, one must believe the truth. It's a choice that must be made. God just doesn't simply save us and say, okay, that's it, whether you like it or not. No, we still have a choice. People miss out on heaven, not because God wasn't kind or that God predestined them to hell. Paul is telling us there it's because they refused to believe the truth. Remember that. Of course, he also said, how can they believe unless someone goes and preaches to them? So there's that tension. We've been called through the gospel. The gospel that Paul preaches, why? Because ultimately, it's so that we might share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take a look with me to 1 John chapter 3. You want to see this glory, that salvation is destining us to? There we go. 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, listen, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And then he goes on to say, all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. God loves you. Embrace that truth. You've been saved that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to be a reality. Now, salvation has three tenses on display in these two verses. It says God chose you, that's past tense. You're saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that's present tense. And that's a present tense reality. And you will share in the glory of our Lord Jesus, that's a future tense. So embrace God's complete love for you. He worked before you, he's working in you now, and he will continue to work till Jesus comes. And that's it. God really loves you, church, plain and simple. Believe it. Paul says, hey, you guys, all the difficulties you're experiencing is not because God is mad at you. Ever feel like God was mad at you? You ever go through a real difficult time? God must be mad at me. He's getting me. This is the reason I had this problem. This is the reason why my car had a flat tire. This is why this or that. And it's like, God is getting back at me. I've done something wrong. Have you ever felt that way? Well, good. I guess no one's had that problem. He loves you. And even in those problems, stand firm in your faith. Stand firm. He loves you. Number two, we have plenty of difficulties as we follow Jesus. Therefore, hold fast to God's word. We find that in verse 15. It says, so then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. So then is kind of a hinge where the argument turns at this point, meaning based on what Paul has already taught them in the letter, he now calls for action, and the action he calls for is to simply don't move. Stand firm. Hold fast. Don't be unsettled. Remember what you were taught. Don't let go of it. Now, he's talking about the teachings he passed on to you. Some of your Bibles say the traditions. Okay, hold to the traditions that you received. Has anybody got that in their Bible? Somebody's tracking back. Thank you, Meryl. Yeah, okay. So these are not the tradition of the elders that Jesus fought against when he was with us in the Gospels, right? They're holding to the traditions of men. These are the traditions, and what a tradition is it is something that's handed down from one person to another. It's the teachings that were handed down to Paul from the apostle, from Jesus, and from the other apostles, and then they handed it on to others. So that word paradosis is really traditions, but what he's talking about is the teachings of the gospel. Now, when Paul was writing this, the New Testament hadn't been compiled yet. And this church in Thessalonica didn't even have, for the most part, the Old Testament around. These Gentiles, they weren't familiar with the Old Testament. So they have to hold on to what Paul taught them. They need to be careful of that. Now we know this as God's word. God's word is going to be made manifest among them. And Jesus made provisions for this in John 16. Take a look at verses 12 to 15. He says, on the night he was betrayed, he says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, what kind of spirit is he, church? Spirit of truth. Underscore that. The Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me. Jesus came to give the Spirit. Remember, John baptized with water, but Jesus was going to come and baptize with the Spirit. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will what he will receive, and he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So the teaching of Jesus is through a tradition handed down to the disciples. They handed it down through their writings to us today. There's teaching. God's word contains all the Old Testament and the New Testament, all 66 books. How do we know that? Because in John 5, we read these words. Go in your Bible there. By the way, church, this is the hermeneutical key to understand the entire word of God. Right here in these passages. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. You just want the stuff I was able to provide you out there feeding the thousands. do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. So they ask him, what must we do to do the works God requires? That was it. To them, they had to earn their right relationship with God. But Jesus answers, verse 29, underscored in your Bible, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. It's a matter of belief. So they ask him, what sign are you going to give us that we might believe? What are you going to do, Jesus? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. But Jesus says, hey, it's not Moses that gave you the bread. It's my Father that gave you the bread from heaven. And now I'm the bread from heaven. Verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you don't believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, listen, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those who has given me, but raise them up the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. There we go. Jesus is the hermeneutical key. He's the word from heaven. He's doing the Father's bidding. Everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify of him, that we might have life. We need to hold fast to God's word. That's what we're saying here, church. We need to hold fast. Believe in Jesus. He's the living word. He's the written word. By the way, what is this called in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6? Anybody know? The word of God is the what?
Sword.
The sword of who?
Spirit.
The Spirit. Yeah. By the way, if you ever think that you're going to wield the sword effectively apart from the Spirit of God, you got another thing coming. Right? You ever been beat up side the head with a Bible? You know what I'm talking about? This is the sword of the Spirit. It needs to be handled as you're directed and empowered by the Spirit. Know the Word. Get into the Word. Meditate on the Word until your blood runs bibline. Now, verses 16 and 17 is a prayer for us too. Listen to this prayer. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, do what? Encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. In order to stand firm, we need to immerse ourselves in Jesus Christ. He loved us. He gives us grace. Eternal encouragement. What's that? It's the word of God. When we forget what God has said, it's written there for us. Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. And good hope. What's that? Well, he's the one who was resurrected from the dead. He's called our living hope. It's Jesus. Encourage your hearts and strengthen. May he strengthen you for every good deed and word. In other words, Paul's saying, you want to stand firm? Your faith has to be accompanied by godly behavior, immersed in Christ himself. Let's go to our third resource for standing firm. And that's found in verses 1 through 5. Take a look at verses 1 to 3. Pray for God's strength and protection. 1 through 3 says, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. and pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people. For not everyone has faith, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. So, just as good deeds and good works are an act of faith, so is prayer. Prayer is exercising faith. Paul wasn't shy about asking for prayer. You think, oh, well, he's got it all together, right, Jack? Paul's got it all. We don't have to pray. You know what, church? We don't pray because we think that we can carry out God's will in our own ability, with our own incredible wisdom and our own strength. But we forget that Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Paul understood the miracle of redemption that took place in the lives of these Thessalonians. And now he's in Corinth and he's saying, hey, I need prayer. I want God to do that same kind of thing here. You can't stand for God apart from God. You have to have his power in your life. And prayer is the key to accessing that power. Paul prays the message of the gospel may spread like wildfire, and the Spirit of God opens people's ears so they can hear it. He also prays not just for the message of the gospel, but he prays for themselves personally to be delivered from wicked and evil people. He says not everyone has faith. Not everyone believes. They ran into problems in Thessalonica. They ran into problems in Berea. They ran into problems in Corinth. He fought wild beasts in Ephesus. He was persecuted. He was beaten. He was jailed. He was shipwrecked. Paul had all kinds of trouble. How did he get through it, church? He got through it because he prayed and he had people praying for him. Not everyone believes, but God is faithful. What will he do? Two things, church. Number one, he will strengthen you so you can stand firm and hold fast. And it says he will protect you from the evil one. John 17, 13 through 19, Jesus recognizes this very truth. Turn, if you would, John 17. Jesus is praying the night he's betrayed. He's on his way to the cross shortly. And he tells his father, he says, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world. Why? So that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of this world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world. Wouldn't that be nice? But that you protect them from who? The evil one. Paul is praying the same thing Jesus did. Lord, protect them from the evil one. And he's asking them to pray for him. Protect me from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Okay, did you follow all of that? It's okay to say no. Pray, church. We have to pray. Paul says, pray for me. Pray for the word to be spread. Pray for protection from wicked and evil people. The Lord is faithful. He'll strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Remember, he tried to come back to Thessalonica a number of times, and it was Satan that was keeping him when we were in the first book. Satan was keeping him from coming back and sharing. The evil one there. Okay, one more rabbit trail. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus instructs his disciples, this then is how you should pray. Verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. I'd like to have some ice cream with that too. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's the same words. Deliver us from the evil one. Now, that's not translated that way in some versions. But that's what it means. Deliver us from the evil one. Church, if we're going to stand firm in our faith, we have to embrace God's love for us. We have to know that when things are difficult in our lives, it's not because God's mad at us or forgot us. He's going to be with us going through difficulty. We need to hold fast to his word. We need to immerse ourselves in his word and count it as true. And thirdly, we need to pray for his strength and protection. And now he gives us a closing assurance. I'm almost done. Verses 4 and 5, chapter 3 says, we have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Closing assurance. The apostle's pretty sure they're going to keep on keeping on with what he taught them. The question comes in every generation and every Christian's life. Will you keep on keeping on? Will you hold fast to the faith? Will you believe Jesus as true? Will you believe his word? Just because Paul told them to do it isn't enough. He knows that they're going to also need God's help. So verse 5, he says, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. What's he saying there? What's he saying there? He's saying, I want you to become more godly. I want you to become more like Christ. I want God to empower you to be able to love like God loves. Direct you into his love. That you find your way into his love. Embrace his love. Share his love. And also into Christ's perseverance. That you never give up. You don't quit. You don't throw in the towel. Christ's perseverance, what's that? He went to the cross for us. Right? He didn't stop saying, wait a minute. Hey, Dad, send down those 10,000 angels. I'm done with this. He went all the way. Laid down his life. He persevered to the end. Persevered. On the cross for us. Church, we need to pray. We need to pray. We're called to an everlasting preoccupation with God. And this is how God would have us stand firm in our faith. Embrace his love. Give yourself to his love. Accept it, believe it, trust in it, count on it. Secondly, hold fast to his word for you. They're the traditions of the apostles, the word of God itself. And thirdly, pray for God's strength and protection for you as you do good deeds and honor him and find your way into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Let's be about his work and remain faithful till he comes. Any questions? Any questions on that? Comments? Concerns? You've been quiet today. I thought, man, you give me a week off. I thought I was really have been struggling here. Yeah, Howard.
He gave us the perfect example of finishing the work.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I love that part in Hebrews 12 where he says, fix your eyes on Jesus, right? We've got a great cloud of witnesses before us. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. What else? Anything else? Okay. Nothing else? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's true. When the whole world casts doubts, when the enemy brings lies, wonders and signs and all kinds of other chaos to cause us confusion, we can trust in you. We can trust in your love and we can trust in your word. And Lord, may we be mindful also to trust that we're your kids. And when we cry out to you, you won't give us a stone. When we ask for bread, you give it. Lord, when we ask for fish, you don't give us a snake. You're a good father, and you love us. Help us to walk in that truth. Help us to live in that reality, and give us strength and protection as we honor you in these days to come. We look forward to Jesus' return. Now I pray your grace, your power, your joy and peace to be on these your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will you stand with us?
Here we go.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. So glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
You came from heaven to earth
to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. I lift your name on high.
Now we had went to a funeral or celebration of life yesterday for Barbara Childers, and she did just that. The testimonies that came and how she shared with her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, and her neighbors and everyone, that was Barbara. She lifted God's name high.
All right. And now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. I love you, church. Have a great week. Encourage one another as you go.